and more on Nadia Favor. We got Judy Kaberia, Executive Director, Association of Media Women in Kenya, and Eric Odor, Secretary General, Kenya Union of Journalists. That always makes me giggle because if I read my name, it's like Nadia Favor, radio host. Yeah. And then you guys have this like slew of things. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much.
So your goal is to engage media stakeholders in addressing sexual harassment in Kenya media houses through policy influencing. Do you want to walk us through that?
Yes. First, I think the best will be for people to understand what is sexual harassment.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people do not understand what it is. But sexual harassment is a behavior that is basically a sexual behavior that is unwelcomed and offensive to the one who is receiving that harassment. So a lot of people don't understand that. So anything that you do that makes somebody feels that I don't want to do it and mm-hmm. it feels very offensive, then that is sexual harassment. And so in the Kenyan media sector, sexual harassment has been very rampant and it's been a silent, a silent killer, especially for the women journalists who leave the newsrooms prematurely.
Yeah.
Even the ones from other departments, also we've realized most of them, majority of the women leaving the media are leaving the media because of sexual harassment. That is not to mean that men are not victims of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
They are too, only that the numbers are lower compared to the men. But the impact is the same, whether it's one man or 100 women.
Yeah.
The impact is the same. The pain is the same.
Yeah.
Right.
So because of sexual harassment, a lot of cases have actually been in terms of looking at the depression, their mental health. It's quite something that is very rampant. So the Kenya Media Sector Working Group mandated the Association of Media Women in Kenya to lead the war against sexual harassment. And so we've established an ad hoc committee comprising the various media stakeholders
mm-hmm.
to ensure that we look at the sexual harassment across the board. And one of the things that we want to establish is having realized there's no a redress mechanism within the media setup. Even if they are very big media houses, very established, there's no a redress mechanism.
Yep.
There's also no a reporting mechanism. For example, if you're sexually harassed, where do you go to report now? Where will you go
yeah.
to report? And when you report, what is going to happen? What action will be taken? Will you be given psychosocial support? Or will you be victimized for mm-hmm. reporting your boss? So we've realized all those inconsistencies. Some of the media houses have sexual harassment in policies in place,
mm-hmm.
but they remain on war and, you know, just to tick a box that
yeah.
we have a sexual harassment
yep.
policy. Yeah. But zero implementation.
This is
so
true.
This is why we came together to address it, and it was not very easy to address it. Eric Odwor here can tell you the kind of defense that we received
I'm
in the industry
sure.
itself. We were really fought. We were nicknamed. We were called activists. We were told if it's a crime, why don't you go to the to the police
uh-huh.
instead of yapping about it? But
yeah.
you know, it's not easy to ask a victim, let's go to the police mm-hmm. to report. We have to understand the journey of the victim. And worst of it is, media are people in the public limelight.
Yes.
So nobody wants to come out and say I've been sexually harassed.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you have to understand, the media is very exposed because mm-hmm. of the kind of work that we do. Sexual harassment is within the workplace from colleagues. And from colleagues mostly, I say the use of power. Most of the time, it's people with power
yeah.
who sexually harass the ones who are powerless. Mostly the people doing internship, the new employees at the organization. Those are the most vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
And then outside, it's equally a very rough ground. There's a lot of sexual harassment externally as well.
Yeah.
So that's why we have this committee in place.
Now, Africa is leading when it comes to sexual harassment with 79% reported cases, as is reported. So in just a bit, we're going to be talking about male and female sexual harassment, some of the policies that are being put in place as well. If you do have a comment and a concern, do let us know on the Fuse 984 Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or 0701-984-984. It is a Fuse 984. We're having a very essential conversation, especially when it comes to sexual harassment in the workplace and in media, because 79%, I mean, that is a crazy number. Now, speaking of stats, I do want to know from Eric, what is the most common complaint that we have been seeing from male and women who've been sexually harassed?
Yes, right now, if you get a group of 10 female journalists in Kenya, you will find that 7 out of 10 actually will have complaints on sexual harassment. And we are getting these complaints that the senior editors actually who are being accused here, because they are taking advantage of young women who are joining newsrooms. And one, I think there is a language. Number two, there is behavior, making sexual advances, which is offensive to the victim. So those actually are some of the cases that we are seeing. But even outside the newsroom, when you send a young reporter out there to go and cover news, the news sources, the people they interview, the people they interact with, the politicians, the business community, see something differently, not like some as a professional who has gone to collect news and gather news and take back to newsroom for airing, but as someone who is supposed to meet a girlfriend. So those are some of the dynamics that you are seeing in the media industry. So we have good cases within the media organizations. Then we have cases that are also happening outside when these journalists go out there to gather news.
Right. And let's talk about the men in this aspect as well. Because, yes, we're so used to women standing up and stepping forward. But what about the men in this industry?
Yes, we've seen men. I think there are some cases whereby men, especially older women in newsrooms, also are making sexual advances against young male journalists who have joined the industry. We've seen senior managers also making sexual advances against fellow men, because we know we have got different sexual orientation in newsroom. And we have cases whereby a senior person in a newsroom actually was also making sexual advances towards the driver. And we reached a point whereby nobody wanted actually to drive this CEO because of some of the behaviors that this CEO was trying to exhibit when they were being driven. So those are some of the dynamics that we're seeing.
It's very clear that sexual harassment is rampant for both men and women. So you can let us know on the Fuse 984. Any questions that you do have, you can also do that on 0701 984 984. In just a bit, we're going to be also talking about the ways forward as well.
We still have Judy and Eric here with us. We're addressing sexual harassment in Kenya media houses through policy changing. What are our ways forward from this point on?
One of the things that I really like about our lady, she's Memory Kachamba from Femnet. One of the things she said is that we cannot win this war if we don't bring everybody on board.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've been pushing forward and something that we are going to continue doing, first is creating awareness. We need to move from media house to media house, train the HR departments, train the people at the management level, and also train or empower both men and women so that they're able, you know, to have the information that can help them say no to sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And also for possible perpetrators to know what is sexual harassment and how they cannot be party to it. And way forward is also to push the media organizations to have a HR policy.
Yeah.
And when they sign their contracts for work, they also sign the anti-sexual harassment policy. So that by the time you're charging someone with an offense, you tell them you violated this one under the HR policy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a whole complete policy that describes what it is, how somebody can become a victim. So another thing that we are moving forward to do is having the male champions, considering that a majority of the perpetrators are men.
Yeah.
We want to have male champions in the newsroom. And I'm very happy, like in Western Kenya, the group has taken off very well. We have male champions. We are calling it men-to-men engagements.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is looking up after their sisters, you know, their mothers. That's what we are describing it. And they're actually talking even to the fellow men, telling them this is not right.
Yeah.
And listening to them from a man's perspective, describing how bad it feels to see a man watching another woman suffer.
Yeah.
So having the men on board is one of the things that we are really going to engage with actively. And this engagement will not just be within Nairobi. We are moving across the country. The good thing is that we are together with many different organizations.
Yeah.
And together we'll be able to split our groups, especially at the community level. You know, where politicians own media houses,
mm-hmm.
or where individuals own a media house, where the owner is the HR, the owner is the finance manager,
mm-hmm.
the owner is the owner of the women who work there. They are sexually harassed. So those cases are even worse. We have a case of where all the 8 women were sleeping with the owner of the media house.
Mm-hmm.
It's the employer, is the everything. And so these young women were fighting over these guys. So for all the time they're working, they're just fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah.
But this guy, the winning part of it for you to get employment is if you accept the drink and you accept to go out with him.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation they're talking about is very bad. At least even for the bigger media houses, it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no media house that is left out. Not even the Christian radio stations, not the, the Christian media houses. But sexual harassment is an eyesore. And we pray that people can look at it from the human point of view. And it's a human right violation. The moment we start to see it that way, then we'll understand why it is wrong for us to continue entertaining that culture and normalizing it, because the cycle of impunity has to be broken.
Yeah.
The cycle of where an editor is fired from a different media house and tomorrow is hired by another media house has to really stop.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Now, as we get into elections, there is a need to protect our journalists as well. So what are some of the steps that they can take to make sure that they stay safe? And what avenues, if something does happen, can they go to report this?
Yes, safety and protection of journalists actually has always been our work, and during elections, actually, what we are seeing, number one, what we've done is that we had a conversation with the electoral body, that is IBC, to ensure that when they are enforcing electoral code of conduct, anybody who violate the right of journalists, be a politician or an aspirant or a candidate, they must be taken through that disciplinary procedure, and if possible, they should be barred from contesting. Number two, in Kenya, we have what we call Kenya National Mechanism for Safety of Journalists, which brings together the duty bearers and different organizations just to make sure that we are able to coordinate and see what is going out there by mapping, so that we can see the hotspot areas that actually journalists are likely to be in trouble, and put steps there to ensure that in the event that journalists are in trouble during election, they are able to be given assistance. So what we are doing is that we are also going out, rolling out trainings. Obviously, of course, we'll have training on electoral coverage, but within that training in electoral coverage, also we have got safety chapters that we also be taking journalists through. Remember, majority of journalists who are covering elections right now are very young, and they are doing it for the first time. So that is why we've developed training guidelines and also a manual on their safety when they are covering elections, so that they know what to do in the event that violence erupts.
Right. Yeah, one more thing. It's good to say the ad hoc committee that we are forming to address sexual harassment in the media industry.
Yeah.
We've brought also other expertise on board. We've brought the Federation of Kenya Employers, because it's an issue of employment rights.
Mm-hmm.
We've also brought IREX for psychosocial support, because victims of sexual harassment go through psychological torture.
Yes.
We've also brought the DCI and the DPP, because these are criminal offenses that require further action to be taken in place.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully in the next 1 year, by end of this year, we should be having the committee in place where media houses can go to report independently, and also have a redress mechanism that is also comprehensive, psychosocial support, moving forward with the cases to court.
That's amazing. Somebody had asked me this a couple of days. They're like, what have you seen that's changed in Kenya within the last 10 years? And this is one of the things that I mentioned. The openness and willingness to have conversations like these is so important. So we thank you so much, Eric and Judy, for coming here and for sharing this with us. And we look forward to all of the things that you're going to accomplish and all the pinnacles you're going to hit. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're doing a good job. I think we need these campaigns to continue so that you're able to bring an end to this kind of behavior in our newsrooms.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to having you back.
Thank you.